Assalamu alaikum, guys. Welcome, salam, greetings of peace. We haven't had a podcast episode in ages, man. It's been a good while. I'm sorry. I have had people on my Snapchat and stuff asking for it. I'll explain why now. As you guys know, the podcast currently I'm doing for my bedroom because we left our office, as you guys know, because if you follow me on YouTube, this is literally the hot topic right now, is the fact that we're trying to look for an office. But yeah, we left our office about a month and a half ago because Omar moved house. So it's too far for him. We shared an office. So we're going to get a new one, inshallah, that's closer for us. So for the last month and a half, I've been working from home, which means I'm also doing the podcast from home. I had the idea for the podcast and I didn't want to delay it until I got an office, because I think that would have just delayed things for no reason. And I think that if you want to do something, you know, get started and get it going. So my point being that I have loads of people that I want to interview on the podcast, but they're not personal friends of mine, you know, and I live at this house with my family, so I don't just want to have random people as beautiful as their character may be. I don't really want just people constantly turning up at my house that aren't personal friends of mine, etc., and filming in my house. So that's why it's been difficult, but inshallah, when we get the office and we set the studio up there, I'll constantly be having people come into the office. I have no problem with people, as many people as I want coming there. What you guys can do to help me is, if you have interesting people that you would love to hear, you'd love for me to like go into their story a bit, then please send their information in. So as you know, this podcast isn't necessarily with people who are famous or people who just have big names. I want to interview people who are interesting and who have stories and who are inspiring. So I want to interview teachers. I want to interview doctors and people who have their own businesses and people who have amazing stories, people who have battled illnesses and all this kind of stuff, and delve into their lives. So if you guys know people like that, what you could do to help me is email me at submissions. Which email do I want to email me on? Email me on, let's just chuck everything on one email. So submissions@faisalchowdhury.com. So that's submissions, I think that's probably right, @faisalchowdhury, which is my full name.com. The email will be, so you can either submit to that or the inquiries email, which is inquiries@faisalchowdhury.com. The email will be on like the bio of the YouTube video, or my Instagram. So just email me and tell me. I would love to know a bit about the person that you want to nominate, or if you want to nominate yourself, what their kind of gist is, what they do, or what their story is, their name and their contact or social media, so I can like look them up. That would be great. And then once I got the office, I can call them in. Apart from that, this interview, this podcast today is with Imran from I Am Media. If you recently saw my most recent video documentary by YouTube, it was shot by him and filmed by him. He's a really interesting guy. We talk about his journey in kind of leaving his job to start up his own business. We find that we actually have a lot of similarities. So what it was like for him to leave his job to start his own business, was it always something that he, you know, was successful at from day one? If you guys are interested in filming, if you guys are interested in business, or if you guys just want to hear us have a chat, this will be a really interesting podcast for you. What else do we discuss in the podcast? Kind of the importance of having keeping around good circles, the whether you should mix family and friends with business, or whether you should not, whether you could start a business of no money, the fact that you have to essentially put yourself out there and you can't expect big money straight away. Imran talks about the fact that he done his first ever one of his first ever jobs for like almost nothing. He made very little profit off it. He charged about £150. By the time he paid off his other cameraman and his expenses, he basically had, you know, between 20 to 50 quid probably left for himself. So we talk about all that kind of stuff. It is really interesting. I hope you guys enjoy it. And like I said, I apologize for not putting out more content kind of more often, but as soon as we have the office, inshallah, I promise we will. That is about it. This podcast, before we go into it, is sponsored as always by izaha.com. That's izaha.com. It's my business. We specialize in Arabic clothing, Arabic hats, snapbacks, caps. Please check it out. Make sure you support. Anything you guys can do to help support the podcast allows us to put out more episodes. Obviously, putting out episodes, there's costs to it. There's running costs to a podcast. And I'm not asking, you know, I'm putting the podcast out for free and stuff, so I would never ask you guys to pay for the content. But anything you guys could do, support, help our sponsors. Also, if you guys have businesses or you guys know of businesses that would love to sponsor the podcast or that want to kind of get into my audience, which is, you know, my biggest audience is 15 to 25 year olds, I believe. So, you know, it's got thousands of listeners, alhamdulillah. So anyone who is interested in sponsoring the podcast, also email the inquiries at faithfulchowdhury.com, email address, and inshallah, we can give you a sponsorship for the beginning. So like at this in the intro, you know, we'll shout you guys out and tell what your business does and that kind of stuff. So yeah, that mic is active. So yes, without any further ado, sorry for the long intro, enjoy this podcast with Imran from I Am Media. Okay, and we are live. We have Imran in the building. Imran, those of you guys who have watched my recent vlog, which is like, it's like a documentary style vlog, it's got Imran in it. Sorry, it's not got Imran in it. Imran is the one behind the camera. So he shot the vlog, well, the slash documentary. He's who you can hear sipping the coffee right now. Are you a sipper? Do you know how loud that is in the mic? You know what you got to do? If you're sipping, then like, you got to move the mic like this.
Mm. While you're sipping.
Okay. And then bring it back when you're talking.
Can you hear this?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's annoying.
By the way, yeah, you're gonna have to put a black square on my face.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're joking though.
I'm not joking.
Are you serious?
Does it beat the point?
Yeah.
No way.
Bro, I can't do that.
Nah, you are chatting it, man.
No, bro, this is video.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, but I'm just a person, innit?
Yeah, but bro, that's the whole point.
I can come across as an entity, blackface.
Nah, man.
Are you sure? Serious?
Yeah, I can't. I can't. That's the point of it. Well, you really don't want your face on it?
Yeah.
No way.
Tell me how it's going to work out if we did put a black square on my face.
First of all, I wouldn't know how to put a black square on your face that constantly moves around. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
Can you at least blur your face?
I can blur it.
With that, because I've got that overlay that's like pixelated.
Yeah, I can blur it.
But was that someone at the door? No, it wasn't. It was just a post. Okay, so you can blur your face, but then what about when you move and stuff? You can have it track your face for like the whole hour.
Yeah, no worries. I'll just give me the two raw files. I'll pixelate it, send it back to you, and we transfer.
But it's not two raw files. It's like the GoPro, like every 20 minutes or something, like mixing new files. So you have to do it on loads of files. Nice. It's big files. Yeah. It's better if you do it here before you leave.
Yeah, I'll do it here.
Okay, that's fine. We'll do that.
All right, should we start again?
No, that's fine.
We're rolling, yeah?
Yeah, we keep rolling. you're going to need it close to your mouth.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's how we need to have it. All right, so as I was saying, Mr. Anonymous Imran he shot the documentary. He runs a company called I Am Media. They do pretty much anything and everything when it comes to film, but your main focus is weddings, right?
That's right.
Or yes. Events basically.
Yeah, events cinematography, yeah.
Yeah, but the quality, Allahumma barik, of your videos are like, you could tell that you know what you're doing and that you're definitely passionate about it as well.
It's probably going to take me about 10 minutes to adjust to this interview.
No, it's fine.
It's the first, I feel like I'm on a show or something.
No,
man.
It's more, here's the best way to do it. You ignore the camera.
Yeah.
And it's just me and you chatting. Mm. We don't think about the audience. And we don't talk like, oh, just so the guys can know. Like, what do you, it's just like us two chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Okay, you know what then? Forget my introduction. You may as well just, let's get into the chat.
Yeah.
Do the introduction later.
Yeah, well,
it's a weird one.
I always do the intros at the end. Like, how did you find?
Let's talk about you first, then we'll talk about me.
Oh no! This is the next phase. This is a podcast. This is hosted by me, man. How did you find following me and all around for the day?
Yeah.
Wait, what were you expecting? Because we haven't really met properly before then.
Yeah. This is actually my second meeting with you so far. So
no, a third.
It's a third. Probably the fourth actually. I remember working with you on a video back in July, June, for Dawah Man to promote the Muslim Survival Guide, which was it was a script written by Muslim Bilal, and I remember, man, he was proud. Remember, in between shooting the next scene and the other, Faisal just, you know, prowl around me, man. Said, how much is that? Yeah, do you think that's it?
I was so interested in your equipment, man. I was so interested because I'm not like mad into it's weird, like I'm not like a cinematographer or filmer, and I have no like qualifications when it comes to that, but it just interests me. Like I love seeing crisp quality stuff and that kind of stuff. So when I decided that I wanted to put out some good quality kind of documentary, I knew there was one man for the job. So we hooked up a meeting, and we literally had the meeting about 4 days ago.
You well, initially I messaged you saying, oh, yeah, that I wanted to, because I've obviously my passion stems from short filmmaking.
Yeah.
So making mini short films with some kind of content and message behind it. Hence why I got in touch with you, because you seem like a guy that had the content and someone that I definitely wanted to work with. So I messaged you saying that let's get in touch, let's do something. But only recently you came back to me saying, yo, I got some ideas, let's meet for coffee tonight, let's have a pizza. And it's good.
Well, that's what I'm about, man. Like if I have an idea or I'm ready or anything like that, I like to like get it done, you know. I don't want to
sleep on it.
It will die out, you know. Like, or you'll lose motivation, or you'll think of reasons why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's so crazy because me and Omar for about a week how we're talking about how we wanted to get this, like we wanted to start putting out really good quality content. Not all the time, like I still want to do the regular content I have for my vlog, but for my YouTube story, but we want to also put out good quality content for people to kind of follow us around and that kind of stuff, especially on days where it's interesting. And so then you came to mind, and then I thought a few days later, I just thought, you know what, I'm really on this right now. Let me contact Imran and see, let me just like see, get a conversation going and see what we can cook up together, because I want to see like what his plan, like idea of it is. And I hate talking about things like this on the phone, so I thought, let me try and hook up a meeting. I contacted you, I was like, this was on Saturday, I was like, bro, do you want to meet tonight? And you're like, let's try.
You're I like that attitude though, man. Yeah. I'm that kind of guy as well, you know, when you're feeling something, yeah, you just want to get on with it whilst you're in the hype.
I could tell, because you were, even though you couldn't do that day, you were like, I can't do right now, but let's do tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, cool, tomorrow. So then we met up on a Sunday and we talked for about 2 hours, over 2 hours, because...
Did you like the pizza?
The pizza was good, yeah. We talked for over 2 hours in a hotel lobby over pizza and some coffee about this idea and about filming in general and like the way I want my production quality to look like in the future and Omar's production quality. And then we ended up deciding that the next day, let's just get together and just shoot something. And me and Omar didn't really have much plan for that day, other than we had to view an office and I had an optician's appointment.
It turned out
the day we had like 2 or 3 meetings that day, we ended up like, I missed my optician's appointment. It was an exciting day. It's
very spontaneous, nothing really scheduled apart from the meeting itself.
Exactly.
But yeah, shout out to Costa on Cranford Road inside the Premier Inn Hotel. Very, very convenient, wasn't it?
To meet up
at, what, wasn't it 9 o'clock or something? 8:30?
So are they 24 hours?
24 hours.
That's really good. I'm going to use that as a meeting place more often.
You should, man. I go there to do edits.
Oh, really?
Like when I've got like deadlines, I can't really edit at home, you know, at 10 o'clock. But you know when you got these edits that you need to, that you promise to people and that you need to deliver the next day? Really good, man, to work there. Because sometimes working at home, man, you get sleepy.
Have you ever considered doing a getting an office? You don't necessarily need one, do you?
At this moment of time, no.
Yeah.
But with the way things are going, inshallah, you never know, because the more demand you have, man, the more of a reason you need to have an office.
Yeah.
You can't be just working at home is a bit strange. It takes some time to adapt to. Because you're in a homely environment, you'll get distracted by the people that you're living with at home. So it's a bit different when you work in an office-based environment. It feels a bit more professional. It feels like you're actually going to work.
Exactly.
At home, it feels like I'm just doing a hobby.
Yeah.
And then I tend to lie on the bed, then get back up, go back on the edit. So it's a bit weird.
Well, you know what I found? So I've been working from home for like the last month and a half now, and I just can't get used to it. The thing for me is that if I get up and I go to work, A, I feel like you said that you're going to work.
Yeah.
B, when you're around, the people around you can't help it, but distract you. Like, for example, if I'm around the house, my mom might ask me to do something like run a quick errand and that kind of stuff. It's like, if I'm not at home, like, I won't be asked to do that kind of stuff because I'm not available.
It ruins the flow, man.
Yeah, man. And like, people might not understand that that genuinely does ruin the flow. Like, even though you're at home, you are working. So that's the biggest issue I find working at home, that people just seem to think that you're around and you're available. Or people ask you for like your nan might call and be like, oh, can you quickly come to the house and drop this off? And it's like, I mean, I can, but it will get in the way of work. Whereas if I'm at the office, they can't ask that because they know that I'm literally not around. It also gives you some more, it also gives you a schedule to your day. It so you're like, okay, you. I get up, I go to work, I come home. When I'm not at the office, I don't do work. So I spend time with family. Exactly, but you have to have family time. You have to have legit family time, especially being married and that kind of stuff. You can't just constantly have your work at home. The third reason is because, like you said, you end up working from bed a lot of the time. And I remember years ago when I was struggling to sleep, I remember like looking into like reasons why or things that can help you sleep. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, saying that use your bed only to sleep and your body will naturally realize it's time to sleep. But if you use your bed to chill on, you watch telly, that kind of stuff, your body's just gonna adjust to your bed like it's just something that you sit on. Whereas if you're in bed, your body's like, okay, cool, I'm in bed, it's time to sleep. So these things, I think, genuinely really do affect a person. And I think it's so important to have an office or somewhere to work from that isn't kind of home. I understand having a home office for like bits of problems, but even a home office, I don't think I would ever get. Yeah, man, I'm really pro office, especially since we're leaving our office. I think that is crazy. But you have been working for yourself for how long now?
By the way, I feel much more calmer now.
Yeah?
So, yeah, you bring the question in at the right time.
Okay, cool.
So what was the question? How long have I been working?
Yeah, working for yourself.
Since 2012. Yeah, since 2012, man. It didn't start off with thousands of pounds in the bank. I would start off by... I remember those days, man, when I started out 2012, I gave up my job. Actually, I handed in my resignation because I couldn't, you know, handle politics at work at the time.
Okay.
And the hobby was actually stemming and growing further. And it was mind-numbing going into work. Bro, mind-numbing.
Such a similar story between you. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, dude, I worked in retail, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I worked in retail. It's, it's great to, you know, if you've never had a job before, or if you desperately need to pay the bills, I mean, it's something. If you're someone that's never been to work, just go and do something. Cleaning floors, packing boxes, stacking shelves. Go and do something, man. It'll give you a bit of confidence and give you a reality check as well. Obviously, the money's not so great. Maybe if you're single, it's good, you know. Maybe about that £1,200 coming in every month.
Of course, man. If you're young and you're single and stuff, that's good money.
It's good money, man. But... no, man, I had to give up the job. I just felt like at that age, how old was I? I think I was about 23, 24.
Okay.
And I just felt, it felt depressing being there, man. It's like, I'm capable of so much more. You know, the fact that I felt really bored and it was mind numbing made me want to jump into something totally different and pursue something that I really enjoyed. And I didn't mind being broke about in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because... everybody knows, you know, you can't be a millionaire overnight from starting a business, man. Not that I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, I was about to say, help me get my new office. Bro, what you said was so crazy. First of all, the story is so similar between you and I. I didn't know that you started off at retail and that kind of stuff. But quickly before you said that, what you mentioned about it disciplining you and like everyone needs a job, I think that's so key and so important and so true, bro. Because here's the thing. I always said when I was younger, I was like, I'm never going to work for anyone. I'm always going to work for myself. Yeah. I got to a point where I needed a job. I got a job and bro, I'm to this day thankful to Allah for blessing me with the opportunity to work under someone and have a job because bro, it disciplined me like mad. Yes. Yeah. Turning I was always like, oh bro, I, do you know what? I always thought I was going to work for myself. And my dad, his thing, my dad said to me, when I left uni, my dad was like, you need to get a job. And for my dad, that was a weird thing for me to hear. I know for some people, that's like something they hear all the time from their parents. But for my dad, that was weird because my dad is very pro-business because he's always been a businessman. So him telling me that I needed to get a job, I was confused. But he was like, listen, you need to discipline yourself. You need to know what it's like to get up in the morning, go to work, under no circumstances get to work on time, under no circumstances do work, and under no circumstances like make sure that you're producing good quality work, right? So... I didn't understand it at the time, but my dad was desperate for me to get a job. I needed the money. My business wasn't successful to the point where I could look after, I could pay myself a salary. So I got myself a job in retail. And subhanAllah, now that I've left that job, I understand, because at the time, bro, I would wake up, I'd be like, oh, I need to get to work. Like, I'd be running out of the house. Like, I'd have to miss breakfast if I had to miss breakfast. If I couldn't have my coffee or whatever, like, I would adapt things according to my lifestyle, according to my work, sorry. And I would hate the concept of going to work, knowing that I'm going to be late and calling them on my way to work and be like, hey guys, sorry, like, I'm not going to make it in time. And they'd tell me off. Bro, that was the worst feeling, but it's disciplined me so much.
You feel like disappearing.
Bro, shall I tell you what? SubhanAllah, I love my dad so much because he knew better than I did at the time. And I was certain my dad was wrong. I was like, no, my dad is wrong. My dad is wrong. And now I'm like, wow, my dad couldn't have been more right, because now that I work for myself, I'm like, SubhanAllah, I'm so much more disciplined now than I was before I had a job. And bro, I'm going to put that down to some of the success that I have. The fact that I'm now disciplined. Yeah. But now I won't sleep after Fajr unless I'm not well or stuff like that. Like, I feel like I need the rest. Even if I've got 4 or 5 hours sleep, I won't sleep after Fajr. I'll start my work. Alhamdulillah, it's obviously due to Allah, and Allah has blessed me with seeing, opening my eyes to it. But bro, my dad, it really did discipline me working in retail. And so I would, like yourself, I would recommend that to anybody and everybody. If you haven't got a job and you think, you know what, I'm going to work for myself, get a job. Even if it's for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 8 months, like myself, it's so worth it. And the other thing is ego. It puts your ego in check, man. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. At the end of the day, you're working under someone. Someone is telling you what to do. Someone is telling you where to stand. And that stuff feels horrible.
It humbles you, man.
But it humbles you.
It humbles you. And I think, let's talk about retail for a bit. I used to work in Boots.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Apple. Okay. So I had like a really good retail experience. You're lucky,
man. That's much better, man.
Man, for retail, it's the best place you can work.
I used to hate working in Boots, man. I mean, the first 2 years, 3 years, I really enjoyed it. I think up until after 3 years, I enjoyed it because I met one of my best friends at Boots. He's still my friend. Still my friend today, actually. Okay. In fact, he came over to my house yesterday. He'll be coming to Dubai as well.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So we met there. I made a really good friendship for working at Boots. But yeah, the first 3 years, I really enjoyed it. And then after that, it got super, super repetitive. And then politics started coming into it. And then Boots were cutting down on budget. And it just got really, really hard there, man. There was just things, the ethics, I just didn't really agree. I don't really want to talk about that too much.
Yeah.
But just the ethics, I just really didn't enjoy. The management, I think, was taken personally rather than going by the book. So, yeah, it got really political. So I had to hand in my resignation. And then I left, man. I remember I left. I didn't have much money in the bank at that time, probably a couple £100. And I didn't know where I was going, to be honest, man.
Did you have the passion or the skill set for filming at the time?
Yeah, it was overwhelming at that time. I was up for doing cheap jobs. I was up for doing free projects, which I still am now. I mean, just I don't prioritize that over paid projects. But
what equipment did you have at the time?
Oh, at that time, man. Do you remember the Canon 60D?
Yes.
I started off with a Canon 60D.
I had the 500D, which was even worse than the 60D.
Oh, nah, to be fair, I actually had the Canon 500D.
Really?
But it wasn't mine.
It was so bulky, man.
Nah, it was an amazing camera, man. Did it shoot in 25 frames?
At the time, it was amazing. I can't remember, but the pictures were 12 megapixel. And at the time, like, the time when the 500D came out, 12 megapixel was insane quality.
But the pixels don't make the actual video quality.
No, pictures-wise.
Oh, for pictures.
Yeah, the camera was 12 megapixels, I was saying.
It was an amazing camera. I still use it today, man.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a sick camera. It's about how you shoot at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, you'll be restricted to what you can do with it, which will make your filmmaking life a bit difficult. But it's an amazing camera, man. You still have it around?
I think it's at my dad's shop or something. We managed, because we were really young at the time, like maybe 15, 16. So we managed to convince my dad that he needed it for his shop to take his product pictures, but we kept it. He paid like £600, because at the time it was like £600, which is insane. You could get a camera. Like, imagine if you said to me now, I've got £600 to spend on a camera, I'd be like, you get a really good quality, good quality camera for that much money. But yeah, so we managed to convince him to get that camera. So we went to PC World, bought it on his money, and took a couple product pictures for his shop. And
who's we?
me and my brother, and he never really saw that camera again. We just decided, we took a photo shoot on that camera for our, we took some, we had a business at the time, and we, everyone else who had a business, they had like press photos. So we wanted to like submit our story to the press, like, you know, we're two young 15, 16 year old boys who like started business. And so we decided, if we're going to submit our, we didn't know how to submit a story to the press, but we decided that we had to submit a story to the press. So we wrote, we, I think we wrote up like, or we got a PR agency or something to write up our story, like, oh, these two young boys are starting a business. And then we decided that we needed press photos for the business. And so we took like some press photos in our house of us like pretending to work on a laptop and stuff. So we used that camera for that. So we hustled our way into like getting news articles on like Yahoo News and stuff like that at the time.
Why the 500D?
We didn't know anything about cameras and stuff. We just
did. You just go into Curry's and take the sales assistant word for it?
No, our cousin had the 500D.
Ah, okay.
And so we really liked his photos, so we just bought the same one.
Kit lens.
Yeah,
the it 18 had 18-55.
Yeah. It wasn't just the body; yeah. It had the whole thing. Yeah.
But yeah, actually, a friend of mine bought the. I remember we went to Jessop's in central London.
Okay, yeah.
And he was more of a. He loved photos. He still does today. Another good friend of mine as well. Yeah, so we went to Jessop's. We bought the 500D. We didn't know what we was doing at that time. We didn't actually go onto YouTube and check reviews of other people using the camera. Yeah. Because I don't even think YouTube was. Yeah, it was. This was back in 2011, 2010, yeah. 2010 actually. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't go into YouTube and check for reviews of that kind. So anyways, we took the plunge. We knew nothing about cameras. We just, you know, going on the word of the sales assistant, and we bought the camera and took it home. My friend got bored of it after about a month or so. Like I said, it was only being used for taking pictures of him, yeah, personal pics, yeah. Nothing professional.
Yeah.
So this guy would spend money stupid things like this. He got bored of it. He goes, yeah, you can use the camera. I took it home and I started playing around with it, and what I feel the image was really, really cinematic. It emulated a very cinematic feel on a low end budget. Yeah, it was an amazing camera. I didn't have the computing capabilities or the software at the time to edit that kind of footage. I knew nothing about Premiere Pro. It was probably Windows Movie Maker and stuff.
Yeah.
And that stuff frustrated me, man. I got sick of it. So I told one of my friends, get me the hacked version of Premiere Pro.
Right.
Which he did. We installed it onto my computer and I started editing. Just so you know, I'm not using hacked anymore.
Yeah.
Subscription based now.
Same here. Do you do the monthly one?
Yeah, mine's coming up for renewal actually in November.
Well,
I
yearly.
Do it yearly. I do it
yearly. How much is it yearly?
I think it's 300 quid or something.
Just move the mic slightly.
Sorry, it's around.
Just if you could just move it to like, see how I've had it. I've sideways it, which is quite, because you know you want the front of it.
How's it now?
To face your mouth. Yeah,
much better. Yeah, shotgun style. Is it a shotgun mic?
Yeah.
It's not, can you hear me now?
Nah.
So it's a shotgun mic.
So okay. It's best if you like. That's why I've got it like sideways. You've got it like that. If you like turn it sideways and tighten it, then it's literally was. What were we talking about just now?
We're talking about basically subscription.
So I'm paying because when I was at uni, it was the student one was like £15 a month for the entire Adobe suite. So I was using that, but now I'm not at uni. I'm paying, they were doing an offer recently because the entire Adobe suite is like £40-45 for a month. But recently they had an offer, so I got it for £25 a month. So I paid £25 a month for it, which works out better for me. I think yearly, how much did you say it was yearly?
Around £300, but that's like going through loopholes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just doing the £25 mark.
Are you still a student?
Not anymore. No, I can't do that. I feel bad doing that stuff. Unless, for example, my sister was a student and she genuinely needs to use one of the Adobe things. I could justify it, but otherwise, I find it hard to justify that. So.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's Pluralize. But at that time, you know, I didn't know I wanted to go into this. It was just a hobby. Like I said, I didn't pay for the camera. It was a friend of mine. And I started out on CS5.
Really? CS5. I started out like CS2 or something.
Why did you even have that? Why was it even around?
No, Photoshop.
Oh,
no, okay, CS2. Well, before Photoshop CS even existed, it was something called Photoshop Elements.
Yes.
I still
have that. What they have in the schools, I think.
I started on that, bro. Then I went to like CS2, CS3, CS4, went to like CS6, and now I'm on CC.
2015. Man. First it was 2014, now 2015. 2015.3.
No, 2016 exists.
There's up. Is it 2016 now?
Yeah, oh, I think wow. I've got Adobe. I'm sure I've got 2016 on my computer because I recently renewed it.
So yeah, I remember at the time, man, I remember looking at the price for Premiere Pro as a because you got the production premium package. $2,000.
Bro, I know, insane, that's, insane.
That's nuts, man. I ain't got that kind of money. I was just, it was just a passion for me. That's not something I want to go into seriously. But, you know, alhamdulillah, now I could justify that cost. It makes sense, you know. Adobe deserve it, man. You know, it's such a powerful, powerful tool. Loads of people are making a living off it.
Definitely.
I mean, you, for example, YouTube, what would you do, man, without Premiere Pro?
Oh, insane, man. Like, yeah, Adobe, they put out great, amazing software. Yeah. So you got this camera around the time that you were planning to leave or you had left?
Nah, this was all just a hobby at the time. So I was making short films with friends. I remember I did someone's A-level coursework at the time. So I scripted the story, filmed the whole thing, and it's easy to get an A-star grade. I got an A-star for it.
Yeah, same. My media A-levels as well, yeah.
Yeah, do you think they... That's weird, man.
Oh, they were shocked. My little sister now goes to the place that I was at, and the media teacher said to her... your face was says blah, blah, blah. And he showed my A-level work. Like, they were so proud of it, and it was the worst A-level work.
Yeah,
but yeah. I don't think there's a massive.
Did you put any effort into it?
I mean, I did. I put a lot of effort into it at the time. Okay. I shot it by 500D. So let's go back to so you left your job, like myself. You left not knowing if you're going to be making money off your skill, just like myself. So when I left I wasn't financially stable off my business enough to look after myself. But I thought there's a stage where you have to make that jump. You're never going to be making a lot of money at work and a lot of money on your skill and like just be able to easily cross it over. Oh, you can, but I'm sure it's not that simple. So I thought, if I really want to take my business to the next level, I'm going to have to leave work and have a period of time where I'm struggling. Yes. So for me, that was about a two-month period where I was no longer at work in retail and I was trying to build my business, but I was really struggling. This was only a few months ago.
Only recently you quit Apple.
Yeah, I quit just before Ramadan. But the way I did it is I always knew that I wanted to quit within a certain amount of time. So I saved all my holidays for a period of time. I took a month holiday. So I quit, took a month off, paid, and then then I didn't get paid. Do you know what I mean? So for about 2-3 months, I was struggling quite hard, to be honest. And then, alhamdulillah, you do have to make that jump, though. That's like what I try and tell people as well, that like
you have to
be uncomfortable.
You've got to be brave, man. Yeah, man. Be brave. What's the worst that's going to happen?
The worst that's going to happen is you're going to like fall down, but you don't just fall and stay down. Like, you get back up and you make it work and you realize your mistake, you learn from your mistake. But if you get too comfortable in your job, you're gonna be in your job for the next 5 years, and then 5 years later you're gonna be like, wow, what if I took that jump 5 years ago? I'll imagine the potential I could be on now. And even if I fell 3 times, by 5 years time you're gonna be at a point where you're successful.
You can always jump back in that job if it really doesn't work out for you. Which
or get another
you
job.
You kind of only have yourself to blame if it doesn't work out for you, man. Because I believe you. If you work hard and you be brave and you hang around in the right crowd, you're definitely gonna make something for yourself, man.
I agree.
I mean, in the first year when I started out, I was a nobody, man. Had no website. I rolled around with basically after the 500D phase. My friend decided to sell it off because obviously it was just money sitting there not being used. It was only being used for personal pictures, and he kind of realized it was a waste of money.
Yeah.
So I went into Gumtree, sold it off. I had nothing then. So that's when I thought, okay, I really enjoy this hobby. I'm gonna go and buy myself a camera. At this time, I was still working in Boots, but I didn't think to myself that I was gonna pursue a career out of it.
Okay.
So I went into Jessup's and bought the Canon 60D.
Okay.
I bought one 16 gigabyte memory card.
16 gig.
16 gig. I bought
at the time, that would have been really expensive.
Yeah, it was around £30. Now it's probably about £5 on Amazon.
Probably for like £200.
I went for the SanDisk. Yeah. I don't go for no cheap brands like Transcend and PNY.
What about Samsung?
Did they make SD cards? Okay. Yeah.
I have some. The ones we use right now are SanDisk, both of them.
SanDisk is the way forward. Or Lexar, both are reliable cards. So started off with just equipment that will be enough to pursue a hobby, really. If you go into my channel, the first movie I ever made is basically called The Heist. It's on my channel. You'll see it. You might have a link in the description below. Yeah. So we shot The Heist. I shot this at my friend's workplace, who was working at Activision. You know who Activision are?
Yeah, the game company.
Yeah, they make Call of Duty, and Call of Duty was a big hype at that time.
Yeah.
So we had loads of space and office space to work in to produce this film.
Okay.
So we made that film, and I showed my friends and all. They really, really liked it. They thought it was very different to, you know, the traditional way of making films. It looked very cinematic and all, and I really liked the final product itself. So yeah, one thing led to another. I carried on with my hobby, but no money coming in. And as time is going on, more technological advancements are coming out. New cameras, new lenses. And, you know, as a hobbyist, you want some of this as well. And so you think to yourself, I need to make money to kind of fuel this hobby.
Yeah.
So to get more lenses, get more memory cards, upgrade the computer and kind of just step up a level. I need to make money out of this. I can't work in boots and feed my hobby. It doesn't make sense. So I started putting myself out there. And Ajmer is a very, mashallah, very business orientated guy.
Ajmer being your younger brother.
Being the younger brother. Yeah. I think he's more business orientated than me, definitely. Okay. But he doesn't... He's not as hands-on as me. Right. He's got the mind, I've got the hands. Makes sense.
That's like Omar and I, to be honest. Omar's very business-minded.
Yeah.
And I suck when it comes to the logistics of business.
So you're more practical, yeah? Get it done.
Yeah. I'm like more of like, if it's done, it's good enough kind of person. It's
a good balance.
Yeah.
Come together, make something remarkable. So... yeah, Ajmer said to me, well, he goes, why don't you just put some adverts out there to get some jobs? I go, where can I put adverts? He goes, go into Gumtree. I said, okay. So I went into Gumtree, put a few adverts up for photography, because at the time I was doing photography too, which I don't do anymore. And we did a few photography projects, loads of scum projects, I'd say.
But they paid.
Yeah, really terrible paying jobs. I mean,
so
I did weird things that were kind of against my morals at the time. Okay. Man. So,
wait, have you always been practicing?
At that time, I wasn't practicing as I am today.
But were you conscious of Deen?
Yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Praying five times a day, kind of like conscious.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, bro, can I just quickly ask before we carry on? Because I don't want to lose it. At the time, because the viewers who are listening, some of them are going to be like 17, 18. Some of them are going to be 26, 27. You know, they might be in jobs. They might be thinking about leaving their job. So I want to make it beneficial for them. Did you have responsibilities at the time? When you were planning, so you're still at Boots. You've decided that you want to put out adverts and stuff. Like married, paying for like in the house. Like what did you have? You don't have to go into detail, but did you have responsibility, like monthly responsibilities?
No, I had no responsibilities. Alhamdulillah, that's a good platform to start off with. I had no strings or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just me and living at mum and dad's house.
And so, as a side note, so that was pretty much the same situation as me. And now I have responsibilities. So I would say that if people listening are at a stage where they are currently are able to live at their parents' house and the majority of the bills are being paid for and stuff, like
make
the jump now. Make the use of it now, because this is the only stage in your life where the responsibilities are minimal. Or when you start having proper responsibilities, they come in and they never stop. They increase. So like right now, yes, if you're paying for a gym membership or you're giving your mum £50 a week or something like that, fine. Like that's not very big responsibilities. But soon you're going to be paying for the rent. Your mum's going to be asking you for more money. You're going to have a wife or children or something. So yeah, it's interesting to know that you didn't have many responsibilities at the time, because I think that's a really good avenue that you were starting to look into increasing this hobby while you didn't.
Yeah.
You carry on, sorry. So you started putting adverts out on Gumtree, etc.
So started putting adverts out on Gumtree, and to put out an advert on Gumtree doesn't cost a thing. I didn't really tell friends at the time that what I was doing, because I was kind of like just conscious that I didn't know, or I didn't even feel proud at the time of what I was doing.
Okay.
Because it was nothing to shout about. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just kind of kept my business to myself. I mean, my brother knew about it, and my mum and dad kind of clocked on what I was doing. And as usual, Asian parents thinking, this guy's wasting his time.
Yeah, I know.
This guy needs to go and do something, go and get a real job.
Yeah, which
I was working at the time, so they kind of didn't really, you know, get onto my case and say anything. And in fact, actually, when I gave up my job, my mum was very happy.
Really?
Because she could see I was upset. And number two, I think, but in the phase that I was kind of like not working in the first year and I was broke and I was working on the business, people did get worried at home. Like, what's this guy going to do with his life? He's not married. He's getting older. He's not doing anything. Because my parents don't really know what I'm doing in my room. You know, they'll probably think this guy's on YouTube, checking videos, sleeping, playing games or something.
And that's the situation for a lot of the people.
Yeah, a lot of the parents will assume these things. I think it's important just to, you know, every now and then have a... some people don't have a relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to have a relationship to an extent, just to let them know what's going on in your life. You don't need to go into too much detail because obviously... sometimes we clash with our parents in terms of opinions and what they think about what we're doing. Go on.
Well, I was going to say that I agree with your point because with myself, often I'll it's important to update your parents somewhat.
Yes.
Just know what you should and shouldn't tell them. Sometimes you don't want to tell them too much because you'd rather them see when the result is, when you've got
That's right.
It's also important to update them. For example, my dad... I try to update him when I can with stuff like, oh, Dad, I've got like an event coming up, I've got a booking coming up, and like maybe this is how much I'm getting paid, so that he knows like some stages of my life. So because when I tell him, he might not come across like he's pleased, or he might come across like it doesn't impress him. And I'm sure this is a situation for a lot of people, because with Asian parents in general, they won't really show that they're... A lot of Asian parents, this isn't a general thing, but from this is what I found, is that they might not show that they're proud, or they might not show that they're like pleased with what you're doing, etc., etc. But it's important to update them, because so when I update my dad, I won't necessarily get a massive reaction from him, but then I know that there's been times where I've heard he'll tell his friends, like, so even though when he's listening to me, it sounds like, oh, like, why isn't Dad happy with what I'm saying, or, you know, I've just landed a really good like opportunity and he doesn't seem happy or content with it. But then I know, because I'll go to like my dad's friend's shop or something, and they'll be like, oh, so your dad said you're doing this, that's like really good. So I know secretly my dad in the back of his head is happy.
That's good.
So do kind of update your parents to an extent.
You have to, yeah. They need to know. They want to know that their parents are doing something useful. Their children are doing something useful. So yeah, definitely keep them in the know-how of what's going on. Like recently, I told my mom a couple of achievements.
Yeah.
And she was quite happy, man. It's always good to keep them updated. But what was the point that we were making?
We're talking about, sorry man, this podcast tends to go off on a tangent. We were talking about
tangent costs.
Yeah. We're talking about, you were saying that, you know, your parents didn't really know what you're doing at the time. We were still going on the topic of the fact that you're putting out adverts, but you weren't really telling your parent, you weren't really telling your friends and family what you were doing. You were still at Boots at the time.
Working from home, my dad still thinks that, I mean, there's weekends where I'm not working.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be working every single weekend throughout the whole year. But there's weekends where I'm not working, and my dad will think that, do you need to get a job or something? Like, what's going on? No work. I've got plenty of work, Dad. I've got plenty of work. Because he doesn't understand that there's so much editing, there's so much admin, there's so much marketing to do.
Of course.
There's things like this to do as well.
Yeah.
You know, networking, coming on, working with people like yourself.
Even being on the podcast itself is a form of marketing that will benefit, you know. Like,
ain't gonna lie if it's not.
It's a good time to mention that if people do need services, like camera film service and stuff, especially for I'll mention it again at the beginning, but for weddings and stuff, if your brothers or sisters are getting married, like, I'm telling you, this guy and his team will not be upset with the quality of the work that they'll put out. I'm telling you now, like, if you want a film crew to come to your wedding who will just film stuff, fine. But if you want people and you want like an amazing kind of cinematic movie for your wedding,
if you want raw passion storytelling in your
this
films,
is what I'm saying, you'll get married, inshallah, you're only going to get married like once, hopefully, or a couple times in your life.
Hopefully,
like, you want good. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those that
I'll make sure I put the, because on the podcast you can put the information in the description and on YouTube, so I'll make sure I put like links. What's the best way for people to contact you anyway?
Through Instagram, because you get to see all my nice works. Yeah. And through my website. Best way to make an inquiry is through the website. Please don't make inquiries through WhatsApp, because it's not really professional.
Do you have a contact form on your website?
Yes, we have a contact form on the website. All you need to do is hit up your name in there, your email address, your dates. You don't need to feel obliged to put your telephone number in. I'm not going to call you. This is how I see it. You know, if someone's genuinely interested in booking your services, number one, they'll find out about you. What does your work look like? Okay. We like the look of his work, or we don't. Number two, what is your telephone number? Yeah, I don't really need your telephone number. I'm not the kind of guy that kind of pushes a sale on people. I mean, this is something that is equivalent to probably buying a car or a house. You're only going to get married once, and it's an investment.
Exactly.
Yeah. If having a video means a big deal to you, well, there's two
things.
You're
going to want to invest in it.
You're going to want to invest in it.
As we're speaking, I'm just going to update the description of the video that we put up, because I didn't actually mention that you do weddings and events. I think that's a key thing, but let's carry on talking.
Jazakallah khair. So, looking for if you're looking for someone that's passionate about making their films, you're obviously passionate about having a good end product itself. Exactly. So, the key is, are you after someone that's going to produce a 5-hour traditional Asian style video?
Or do you want someone with HD, like slow-mo and all sorts?
That's right. If you're looking for someone that's a bit more upbeat, a bit more contemporary, a bit more modernized, and that knows what's going on with current trends, and that wants to put you, basically represent you in the best light possible in your films, and that is something that's going to be timeless. So when you take it away, it's still going to look as good as it is today in about 10, 15 years' time. It's not going to look as outdated. Have you ever watched old videos from the 1990s, 1996 or something? They look cringy, man. Uh-huh. There's nothing special about them apart from the sentimental value. Yeah, so if you're looking for something further than just the sentimental value, then I'm the guy that you need to be contacting. We work with a crew of dedicated filmmakers as well.
And you've got all the equipment. You can get cranes, drones, everything.
That's right. We're not limited. So we have a dedicated team of 2 to 3 cinematographers that basically understand the style and concept into what we deliver in our final products. And yeah, this is basically what I've been doing now for the last 3 years. And going back to the point where I started out in 2012.
Yeah, let's get, we haven't finished the story.
Yeah, we
haven't
finished the story.
Let's get to the point of, so you're, let's talk about the transition from Boots to then taking it on full time and your journey there. I'm really interested.
So I was broke for about a year, and then the hobby was just, I was pursuing with the hobby. I was following some really, I mean, if anyone is genuinely interested in this podcast, and you're probably, if you've got to this stage, which is probably about 45 minutes through, is it 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's 45 minutes in.
It's around 45 minutes through. If you've got this far, then you're definitely interested in what I have to say. Somewhat, and you're probably a filmmaker or some kind of YouTuber. Or someone that wants to go into this field of work. I'm following Philip Bloom. Philip Bloom is someone that really, really inspired me at the time when the DSLR revolution kicked off in 2011. I follow Philip Bloom, I follow Nino, I follow, there's a group called the Cinema 5D Group. I follow other filmmakers as well online as well. So I can't really name them off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm following really good filmmakers that make a lot of contribution to society and help other filmmakers like myself make really good films. But apart from, at that time when I was going through that period where I was broke and I didn't know where I was going with my life, I just wanted to do things that I enjoyed. I was able to afford to do that because, going back to your point, where did you have any responsibilities? No, I had no responsibilities at the time. So I was able to be broke. I was able to live life on the edge. I was able to just do whatever I wanted. However, I wanted to be very productive about it. I didn't think I wanted to make something of it. I treated the hobby as, so as I started turning it into a business, I treated it as a part-time side thing that will just bring in a little bit of cash,
okay,
to pay bills and whatnot. And it went really well. I networked around, people appreciated my works. I was basically doing anything and everything at that time, hence why I went into weddings, because it's not something I wanted to go into at the time. It's like, weddings, why is that? Wow, who wants to go into weddings? Like, you would think at that time, what makes that so interesting? Yeah. Going to people's personal events and filming them. But yeah, one thing led to another. I remember filming my first wedding at the clay oven in Wembley.
Okay.
You know the clay
oven?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So you're still at Boots at the time?
I was still at Boots at the time. No, actually, I left by now.
Okay, so let's talk about the you leaving. So at what point did you... So you had... You're still at Boots.
Yeah.
You've started to get a couple jobs now.
Yeah, I started to get my first job was actually filming a funeral.
Really?
Yeah. I filmed a...
A Muslim funeral?
No. Muslims don't do that, man.
That's what I
said. It was a... I think they were Nigerian or something.
Okay.
It was in Clapham. There's a famous church in Clapham Common area where the greenery is. I'm sure some of the listeners might know. But yeah, we filmed our first funeral there. It was like...
When you say we, who was...
Me, it was me and a friend at the time, who was a friend at the time. I don't think he was as motivated as me. But he came along because, you know, he just was kind of lost himself. He didn't know what he was doing. And yeah.
How much did you get paid for the job?
Oh, yeah. Good question. How much do you think?
First job, I don't know. Beginner, like 150 quid?
Oh, spot on.
Really?
Mashallah. Spot on. 150 quid. So I didn't know what I was doing at the
time.
Man,
that's so cheap.
It is cheap, man. It was actually a 2-day event and I provided photography and videography.
And I bet you paid for your own travel
as a one-man band.
And you paid for your own travel?
Yes, of course.
So yep. You basically got like 100 quid.
I probably did, yeah. And I had to pay matey as well, to who tagged along with me.
Oh, no way. And did you have to do the edit as well?
I had to do the edit as well. Wow. I did all the editing, of course. So I was so desperate for work. Like, it's embarrassing to say, but I'll say it. I offered photography and videography as one person.
No, but you have to. Like, that's something that people need to understand, is that you can't be like, oh, I'm going to now be a designer or filmographer or whatever, and I'm going to charge whatever I want. You have to build yourself up. You have to, even if you're doing events, like my first couple speaking events that I did after I started doing YouTube, I done for free. Mm-hmm. I didn't charge anything because I had to get myself confident on stage.
That's
I had to get myself to a point where I feel like I'm able to charge.
Yeah.
Like, and then even when I started my first clothing line, the hats I would sell for £10 each. Like, you do have to build your way up. You can't be like, oh, good, I'm going to start filming, I'm going to charge £800. People want to see your portfolio. People want to see why they're paying so much. So,
I had nothing to show for it.
Of course. No, I think that's amazing that you did understand that and you charged only 150 quid. Because at the point where you're starting, it's not about the money. It's about getting yourself out there, building networks and building portfolio. If at the end of that, you're able to make any type of profit, then you've won.
yeah, exactly. I mean, to me at that time, you know, I felt very, very, it was a really good sense of achievement. Like, I made my first 150, I made something, out of not working for anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even if it was 50 quid, I'll be happy.
It's true. Yeah. It shows you that there's potential there.
There's potential
for you
there.
To make money.
Exactly. And it just made you feel like a boss, man. I remember the guy, he gave me 250, two pinky notes.
Yeah.
And a couple of tenners. And he goes, yes, Imran, here's the money that I owe you for today. Because I got paid at the end. I didn't know that I had to take a deposit.
I didn't have
a contract. It was just really amateur, So I was even shy to receive the money.
Yeah.
So I received the money,
And, did he give it an envelope or anything?
No, he didn't give it in an envelope. And we went to the local pound store. And me and my friend at the time, we bought this. Have you seen those £1 tins where you put money in?
Yeah.
And to actually open the tin, you need a can opener.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we made a video on the phone. It was like, we got really gassed, man. We was like, let's make a vlog in it.
Oh, wow.
No, the vlog never went out. And in the video, it was like, we just made our first 100. I got the video at home. I'm going to show it one day.
No way. One day you have to, inshallah.
And in the video, I'm like, just made our first £150. And we were trying to pose as like, what do you call it?
Like, you're just trying to stunt, basically.
We're just trying to stunt, yeah. Like, we just...
Like, yeah, we got cake.
That's it, man. We slung a few tickets.
Yeah, man.
Some bits and bobs that we shouldn't be talking about. Anyways, so, yeah, got really happy about that. I put the edit together, and I remember I struggled, man, making the edit because this is a live event. It's not... I'm not making a short film. I've never done an event before. I didn't even enjoy filming the funeral, but the buzz of getting paid to do something that I enjoyed to some extent, which is the filming aspect.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy the telling the story of, you know, someone dying. Because all it was they had a church ceremony. After the church ceremony, we had to go to the... So the church ceremony was on one day. Then the second day, I would come back and they would do the burial at the graveyard. So I had to go to the graveyard and do the burial.
Yeah.
And that obviously, you know, as well as giving me a reality check. Did no one look
at you weird? Like, why the hell is there a cameraman at a funeral?
I mean, it didn't look weird to them. I think it's more, it's very common. It's a very common, what's the word? Contravention.
Yeah, a common, I don't know. Bro, before the podcast ends,
yes.
I really want to get to you leaving your job at Boots. So you had a couple bookings.
Mm-hmm.
You're still working at Boots. Mm. When did you leave Boots? At what point? When you're like, after a couple bookings, you decided, right, I'm going to make the jump. And then you decided, and then after that, you were broke for a year?
The reason why I actually started to get paid work out of it is because I was forced. I was put into the deep end. I never had Boots at the time.
You left
Boots. I quit. Yes, I quit Boots.
Okay.
And then I went into all these different weird jobs.
Okay, perfect.
And,
that's your answer.
And I had to go into these weird jobs because I had nothing else paying the bills. Right. I didn't go into... I did have a few morals at the time. I wouldn't go into nightclubs and shoot videos. I mean, that was something that I would hate to be around that environment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to promote anything like that as well. So I there was a few opportunities I had to make music videos as well, something I'm genuinely not interested in. So there was jobs that were coming my way, which I really couldn't do because they were going against my own values.
Anyways, then
I had an inquiry for a wedding. And this is where I thought, okay, wedding, that's something different. It's a very nerve-wracking thing. You have to get it right. It's a wedding at the end of the day. I had no idea what I was going to get myself involved in. So me and Ajmer at the time, we went together. Ajmer doesn't do it anymore. But at the time, me, I had to tag along, you know, anyone that was willing to do a favor.
Yeah, of course.
So
brothers always help out as well.
I took Ajmer with me and then we shot our first wedding film. And to cut it short, it was like a 15-hour Hindu wedding. Okay. We did a really good job of it.
15-hour wedding,
yeah. From 8 in the morning all the way until midnight. And put the edit together. I think it was like a 3-hour film.
The bride and groom must have got to the hotel room that night and just crashed out.
Yeah, they must have, man, because obviously it's been a long day for them. And the only thing they got to look back on it after is the video, isn't it? But on the day, remember, I'm not a professional at that time. Yeah, I'll tell you how much I charge. I charge £300 for the wedding.
15 hours, that is a joke.
Me, Ajmer, and there was another handyman. So we had to pay the other handyman 50 quid. For helping out, 50 quid for 15 hours.
And you had to split the rest.
To be honest, he wasn't there for 15 hours. He came for just the evening reception.
Okay.
So he came for, that was about 6-8 hours, about 8 hours. So we paid him 50 quid for that, for helping out. And we didn't have extensive kit at the time. We were rolling around with joke cameras, man, like 60D. We had 2 SD cards that were like 16 gigabytes and the total size of the whole wedding was around 200 gig. So you're thinking, how did you carry on shooting this with just 2 cards?
Oh, don't tell me you kept taking the card out and putting it onto the laptop.
We bring a laptop to the job with a power lead.
Bro, I've done that before. Because I filmed around 2 events with Omar when we used to have the media company. We used to because it was good money, we used to every now and again film events.
Mm.
So we've done a couple filming events and we did the exact same thing. We would take the memory card out, put it into like some cheap Dell laptop that we had, transfer it, format and restart.
Yeah, so you know the pain, man. Basically, trying to empty this card quickly before the other one finishes. Yeah, and we didn't even think that we're gonna have enough space on the laptop. Even we didn't like really plan ahead. See, all these mistakes that we made as beginners makes me what I am today. So yeah, £300. Next mate, you got 50 quid out of it, so it's really 250. But to me, that's still big money. You know, to earn £250, yeah, I would have to work like 5 days in retail. Wouldn't I?
Yeah, but when you get older, you realize that getting money really is not easy. You mentioned one thing which I think is really important. We were talking about just earlier before we got on the air, and you said you're saying that you made mistakes and you learned along the way.
Yes.
And before we went on air, we were talking about how I saw this quote on Instagram today, which really resonated with me, and it's okay. something that I tend to live by. And it said that phase one is better than phase none.
Mm.
And basically, what it's trying to get at is like, you can't wait until you got everything perfect to get started. Otherwise, you'll never get started. You can make mistakes and learn on the way.
Bang on, man.
Yeah.
Bang
so, on. For example, and the example I gave is this podcast. Mm. Like, I really wanted. My dream still for the podcast is to have a nice podcast studio with amazing backdrop and top quality sound and a producer and a social media person. But if I wait for all that, I'm never going to get started. So, hey, I've started it, and I'm not trying to boast myself. Only Allah knows my intentions, but I'm trying to give some inspiration if I can. Is that, look, I'm still doing this podcast from my bedroom. Like, I sleep in this room. But I wanted to, as soon as I got a bit of money together to buy the mics, because I know that I didn't want to completely, like, start on, like, my iPhone audio, for example, because I know that to do a podcast, you have to have top quality audio, because that's the point of it. But look at the video for this podcast, for example, bro. Like, I was talking to you about this the other day, like, the video the video quality of this podcast is not great at all.
No.
It is 1080p, but it's not great quality at all. I'm shooting off a GoPro, but that's because the GoPro is the only camera that I own that will last 5 hours if you watch the last 5 hours without turning off.
Especially the way the room is lit up is just totally
It's quite
wrong.
Dull and stuff, it's, yeah. Yeah, the light should be on that side. Yeah, I know.
But they're just some dark silhouettes.
Yeah, I know. But you have to get started, man. Like, people have responded well to it. And, like, I know that, inshallah, because I know what my goal is. I know that, inshallah, there'll be a point where we'll have a studio, we'll have dope lighting around, you know, we'll have, like, a professional camera quality stuff where we've got, like, cameramen that are, like, 1.0, like, HD. So get started. This is just phase one. You know what I'm saying? And there'll be a next phase and a next phase and a next phase, which is why it's called the next phase.
That's right. That's
but
right.
You have to. Yeah, you have to.
So we're going to make Avatar.
Man, this is going to be some. This is going to be a 3D podcast you're going to be watching in your cinemas one day.
You've got to start somewhere, innit,
yeah,
man?
Exactly. So, yeah, don't stress. Get started on phase one. And then I should have called this podcast phase one.
Ooh. Phase one for a while, though.
You were talking a lot about you and Ajmer getting started and stuff.
Yeah.
You guys, like myself and Omar, are quite close in age, and you seem to be quite close as brothers. Are you guys close? Do you guys talk about a lot with each other? Do you find that having a brother is like having a best friend? What's your relationship like?
Yeah, because he shares similar interests, it definitely is a good thing that bounds us together, most definitely.
Do you argue a lot?
Once in a blue moon we do. Not a lot.
Alhamdulillah.
But
may Allah bless your relationship.
Doing business together can be quite tricky because everyone has a different way of doing business. Now, what I've learned over the years is I personally can't mix family with business.
100%.
It doesn't work. It ruins relationships.
People who are listening to me say 100% will think, wait, you do business with your brother, but I will explain that after you've done your point.
Yeah, Ajim is going to laugh when he hears this. Yeah, we had a row nearly on a wedding once.
No
yeah, we had a row, man. Obviously, in private, without knowing, none of the guests hearing.
Of course, of course.
I kind of just wild out on him, man. I said, I don't want to work with you, man. You're just not thinking on the same wavelength as me. And it was a good thing, you know. He said, that's fine, no problem. And I kind of moved on and developed IM Media UK even further to what it is, to what it was then.
Yeah.
But now, Ajmer, and there's another friend, Saad, who are the original IM Media UK. Yeah, those are the guys that started and made IM Media UK. Yeah, they were there from the days when I was broke, man, and from the days that I needed handymans, you know, to help me.
Because that's your brother, like, he'll always be there for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
You mentioned not mixing family, friends with business. I 100% couldn't agree more. And there's been times where I've mixed friends with business and it's ruined my friendships.
Yeah, have you
it's
given ruined, opportunity to friends?
Bro.
You've given opportunities,
it's destroyed friendships of mine. That's a point where I don't chat to people anymore. Purposely, but it happens. So here's my take on it.
Yes.
Never mix friends with family and business.
Yep.
Me and my brother, for example, were in business together before. It didn't work out. And now, alhamdulillah, we found the perfect balance where I have my own business, he has his own business, and we constantly love to help each other out and You know, ask each other about it and help each other, benefit each other when we can. However, we keep it separate. Like, he knows Izaha is your thing.
There's someone that thinks outside the box.
Exactly. But like, if Omar ever wanted to give me, and he does, give me advice on Izaha, he constantly gives me advice. He constantly says that we should do this, we should do, and he treats it like his own business. But he doesn't actually, he leaves it to me. He's like, this is your thing. But he will always help. But that helps so much. And with his business, it's completely his. He does it. I don't even have the skill set, but I will definitely call him up regularly, be like, bro, this is a sick opportunity for you. Bro, why don't you do this? We talk about business all the time, but we don't on a day-to-day basis, we don't, you know, we don't go into work together, be like, all right, cool, man, what are you doing today? What am I doing today? Oh, okay, like, but we will help each other out on a daily basis. So it's important to have separate businesses, separate entities, but at the same time, be able to help each other out constantly. Now, you have to have a good relationship like that. So like, we both understand that it's, we've got our independent businesses, but I will never feel offended if he wants to help me out or if he wants to give me advice. And likewise, he wouldn't, the same with me. But then we know our limits. Like, I know that if I go to a meeting with Omar, I'm not going to sit with him and butt in the conversation, try and like, be like, give a proposal to the client or tell him, oh, why would you do that? He's burped in the mic. And I likewise, he wouldn't, if I was to put something out, it would be like, oh, I'm dropping this line here, he wouldn't tell me, I'd be like, how dare you? But we would help each other. So that's one thing. With friends, now, I've never done this because I did do business with friends and it didn't work out. So this is what I think would work, but I've never done it. And I inshallah, I intend to, if Allah gives me the opportunity or the you know, ability to do so, because right now I'm not at a financial stage where I can do this for friends. But in my head, I'm thinking that probably the best way to do it with friends would be, look, we all have friends that we'd love to, like, be like, if we have a friend who's struggling, or we have friends who has got ideas and like, oh, we want to execute this, but I don't know how to, we would all love to help them out. I think the best way to do it would probably be, let's say you're at a stage where you are able to, maybe give your friend 10, 20,000, whatever, of an investment of what they need to start their own thing, just as a gesture of goodwill. Don't ask for a share back, don't ask for anything, but for the sake of Allah,
you know, you try to help them out.
Do it for the sake of God.
It doesn't have to be through money.
You're right, not for money, but don't, if you're going to do it but you're going to want something back, or if you're going to do it and 10 years down the line when they're successful, you're going to be like, oh, I helped him start that business, or I gave him the original funds to that business, then don't do it. But if you genuinely, for the sake of God or for the sake of helping your friend, you want to help that person, I'd say do it like that. Say, oh, bro, okay, so you want to start your own business doing, I don't know, selling, what can you sell nowadays? Like, you want to start your own travel agency? Cool, man. Like, how about if I...
Chicken drop.
Yeah, right, let's say you want to start your chicken shop. Look, I've got somebody to decide. I'll buy the location or something, or help you set up the shop. After that, it's yours. You do what you want with it. I don't want anything back. Just make dua for me. I think that is, as long as you and your friend have a relationship to a point where he or she won't ever feel like, oh, I owe him.
Yes.
And you don't ever feel like, oh, look at me, I helped him out. You have to both...
You've written it off in your head. You're not getting that 30K back.
Exactly. You have to both do it for the sake of Allah, and you have to both not have egos. Now, that's a tough thing to do, a tough thing to have, but I think that would probably be the only solution to it. And to know that, like, you know, your friend helps you out when you need help, and you help him out when you need help. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think
have to distinguish between your friends, man. To be honest, yeah, all my friends, not everyone deserves our help. It's a hard thing. This is a harsh thing. What I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Yeah,
but
not all our friends deserve it. I mean, they're friends. They're good. They're there for, you know, when you need a laugh, when you need some time out to break away from the work life. But to be honest, the reason why I say not all of them deserve it is because not all of them think like you, man. Not all of them want to graft and take the risk and do something
right,
different.
They might just
people
want...
expect the food to be put on the plate for them.
100%.
And those people, they belong in a day job, man. That's where they're comfortable.
Right, I see what you mean, like, because this is another thing that Omar and I often talk about, is like, I said to Omar recently that, like, you know, you try and, in fact, I said on the podcast, the first episode of this one, of this podcast, I said to him that you try and tell people all the, you try and motivate people all the time to start their own business or to do well in their own business, but some people are comfortable and happy having a career that they work under someone, and they earn good money off it, and they're happy and they're comfortable, and they love going to work, doing their job, and coming home and not having to worry about work, and that's amazing. Like, that's That's so, you can't even put that down. In a lot of ways, that's so much better than owning your business. In a lot of ways, they're winning. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm. So owning your own business isn't great for everyone. Mm. And it's not it's not a special thing to do. But if you do want to go down the business path, then obviously there's do's and don'ts of it. And we're still learning. We're very young. Both of us are still in our 20s. We're still learning. Like, you'll probably get 50 years listening to this podcast thinking, like, if there are any 50 years listening.
I said some weird things.
Thinking like, oh, they're so wrong in what they're saying.
Yeah, don't take anything what I said for gospel.
Yeah, exactly. So what were we getting at the work with family and friends, etc.? Yeah, the relationship with your brother. Do you find that having someone that you can talk to and stuff really helps? Because your brother is probably one of the only people in your life who will give you sincere advice wanting anything back.
That's right. You need someone that you can trust. You know, not everyone's got a brother that wants to see the other brother do good. But, I mean, if you do live in a relationship like that, obviously keep yourself to yourself. I wouldn't advise telling all the ins and outs and all the financial numbers. But especially if you've got something, you know, really exciting and like a break that you feel that there's a break that's going to happen for you. Yeah.
Keep it yourself.
Yeah.
Man.
Keep it to yourself.
No
trust
family,
me, man.
No friends, no.
Yeah. 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 Until it's like, it's just about to happen.
Or until it's happened.
Yeah. Because, you never know, man. Anyone can give you nazar, innit?
Bro, there's even a hadith, but not even intentionally, bro. So people might just genuinely be jealous because, like, it's a really cool opportunity. Mm. But there's even a hadith that talks about if you're planning something, keep your plans to yourself.
That's right, man. Keep it away from your wife as well.
There's wisdom behind it, man. There's wisdom behind
it. Yes, of course, man. It sounds weird, but keep it away from your wife as well. Keep it to yourself, man.
And here's the thing, is it's the betterment of people. Like, oh, don't be sly with yourself, but there's definitely a case of keeping things something secret. Like, if for example, here's an example. I'll tell you again, guys. First of all, I just want to say that I'm not trying to big myself up in any way. I can give examples to myself because I know myself, right? But I'll give you an example of, again, the podcast that I recently did. I wanted to do this podcast, right? And I had the idea for it, and I know I wanted to do it, but I decided that I'm not going to tell anyone about it apart from my brother knew about it until I do it. So I bought all the stuff for it.
I think your mum's cooking something.
Can you smell?
It smells beautiful, man.
Yeah. Oh,
chicken.
Is my mum home? What's the time? Oh yeah, she is. What were we getting at? So I bought the podcast equipment. I done everything that I need to do. I bought the domain. I started the YouTube channel. I even filmed my first podcast, uploaded my podcast to YouTube, and uploaded it onto the iTunes, and then made a video on my YouTube channel saying, hey guys, I've just launched a new channel. Because, bro, here's the other reason that telling people your plans isn't good. Because let's say I intend to start a podcast channel, right? I've now told everyone, hey guys, I plan to start a new podcast channel and it will launch in September. Now everyone's looking forward to it. What if there's hiccups along the way? What if I've had to pay for something and I can't afford the equipment anymore? Now I've told everyone, everyone's expecting it, and then I don't do it. I've got everything and I'm ready, but like,
someone could put you down in the process.
Yeah, man. Like, if someone might convince you that it's not a good idea,
it's not a good idea.
But they don't understand it. Like, bro, do you know how many? In fact, I actually told a lot of people about the podcast idea, people, and they actually said, bro, that makes no sense, don't do it. Do you know how I had two or three people who I genuinely am close to that are even in the YouTube scene that told me it's not a good idea? You know that? And I decided I'm not going to tell people about it. I'm just going to do it because I believe in it. So it's a really good idea not to tell people, because people can convince you that it's not a good idea. And not because they're hating. It's not because they hate. They just genuinely can't see
that
it's a good idea.
Vision.
Of course, man. So yeah, keep a lot of stuff to yourself, man, and people will start seeing results.
And sometimes it doesn't work out, man. They actually are right.
Exactly.
Your friends are right, but you won't know that.
You have to learn.
Well, you know what the good thing is? You took the step forward and you made the plunge.
Exactly.
That's the good thing, man. And if you learn to take the plunge all the time, it's really going to help you as an individual. Forget the business, man. It's going to make you a really confident person. It's going to make you a go-getter.
And how many times have we started things that we failed at? Bro, if you knew the amount of things and the amount, all you have to do is go to my GoDaddy account and look at all the domains I own, all of them domains are failed businesses or failed ideas, but I still own the domains because I thought, okay, yes, I've got this sick idea, let me buy the website. I set up the website, set up a WordPress, and it never worked. Bro, I failed so many times.
Yeah, you wasn't as, you know, alhamdulillah, you're quite successful with the views at the moment, not on the podcast, I'm talking about your channel, but was it as good as it was in the beginning?
Nah, man.
Of like, course, it was a dead one, isn't it? What, probably about 100 views max?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true, you know, it's true.
Wake up next morning, only 20 more views.
But you have to, like, yeah, you have to build it. Like, it's so true, man. Even now, like, I'm, even though alhamdulillah, it gets views, like, I'm not by any stretch of the margin to the point where, like, you, like, big YouTubers are, like, not at all. Like, I'm on,
being much better than before, though.
Alhamdulillah, it's any stages, but you learn as you go along and that kind of stuff. So it really is true. I think that's one of the most important things. Before I end the podcast, I always...
Should we wrap up? Is there a point to wrap up?
There is. I tend to wrap it up on current events.
Okay.
So let's do some current events quickly. There's a big thing in the America, which is happening right now, which I spoke about in the podcast a couple episodes ago.
In Haiti?
No. It's the this clown thing. So people are dressed up as clowns in America, just scaring people.
Okay.
And now it's slowly being brought over to the UK because it's a craze. Mm. So people are dressing up as clowns and just trying to scare people, but it's just going to end up in the wrong hands. Like, people are going to try, like, aim, like, jokingly trying to scare people, but someone's going to get stabbed, beaten up. Mm. Have you heard about this kind of stuff?
I've seen Troll Station do one.
Oh, Troll Station did it. It's crazy, man. Like, I think it's absolutely crazy that people are dressing up as clowns and doing this thing. You know what I mean? People are just out there to try, like, I don't know, just like, I don't understand it, man. I'm not even talking about Troll Station. I'm talking about, like, the stuff that's been happening in America, where, like, actual creeps have been, like, waiting outside schools, like, grown men dressed up as clowns to, like, scare little girls and little boys. Like, that makes no sense, bro. It's insane, isn't it?
The world's sick place, man.
The world's a proper...
But it doesn't mean that you should flop everything and just get depressed with everyone as well.
True. Okay, bro, here's the other thing that let's quickly talk about before we end the podcast. Okay. On current events, Lily Allen recently went to Calais.
I think she's
a singer.
I saw a thumbnail on YouTube. She's not really happy with Britain.
No, so that's what I'm gonna say. So I watched the outside. So basically, here's what happened. Yeah, so she goes to Calais, she goes to see some Syrian refugees, and she starts breaking down. She's like, how are people living like this? How are we not letting people into our borders? Like, if she goes, I've got two little children, and if people were, like, bombing my country, I would at the very least want to be content in the fact that my children have got somewhere to go and because they're children, bro. Yes, like, they haven't done anything. Yeah. They're literally children. They should deserve to go somewhere and have this is one big earth that we have. We're not, like, you know, people have, like, made it to sections, but she's basically saying that the children deserve to have a life. So she goes here, she meets, like, kids and young people and teenagers that are, like, basically, like, you know, risking their life every day to try and jump on a truck to get to the country. And she breaks down and she's, like, apologizing. And so at one point in the video, she goes, I'm sorry. She goes, she literally said these words. So I'm not giving my opinion here. I'm literally just saying what Liliana said. She said, like, my country has come to your country. We've dropped bombs and we've made you flee. And now we're not letting you into our country. That's what she said, yeah. And that's the point at which she breaks down.
Viral.
Bro, that's the point when she breaks down and she says, I'm sorry on behalf of my country. Now, that's the bit where people are going mad. Mm. So, bro, the video, I'm going to just pull it up now on YouTube because at the time I checked earlier, it had, like, something crazy amount of dislikes. But let's try to find it quick. Lily Allen. Let's find the video. Where is it? Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Okay, here we go. So it's had 137,000 views from BBC, 834 likes, 2,000 dislikes. So it's had over double the amount of dislikes as it has likes because of what she said. And people are commenting, like, Lily Allen, if you're not happy, then get out of the country. Like, on behalf of my country, I'd like to apologize for having Lily Allen. Like, she's getting so much hate, man. Like, it's unbelievable. Look, deport Lily Allen, the talentless, whiny B-word. Like, she's just doing this for more fame. Like, how is she doing this for more fame? She's, like, gone out there and, like, I'm not defending her fame, but what I'm saying is, like, she's gone out there. This is just a woman who's got children who has been affected to the point of tears at the fact that there's children living like this. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy that people are hating on the fact that she's upset because she's seen people live a sad
way. There's so many other people that voice the same opinion as her And just because one person that's famous that made that opinion,
she's getting hate.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know why I said that.
No, it's true, bro. It's true what you're saying. Right, let's wrap it up. So that was quite a good length, man. It's about an hour.
Yes.
Thank you for coming to the podcast.
Thank you, man. Thank you made me feel famous, man. I feel like a public figure.
Well, now we're gonna have to do the whole blurring out your face yes. situation.
Yes.
But thank you for coming on. I know I was joking about that, but in all honesty, I was saying to you before that I really respect the fact that you're a person who wants to put out stuff, wants to be successful in dunya and in akhirah, and that you want to be sincere in it, and that you want to keep yourself out of the limelight and keep yourself out of the fame. And I think that
that's right. That's the reason why I've pixelated this video.
Of course,
I don't want to get gassed in it, because I know your channel gets a lot of views and it's getting quite popular at the moment. Alhamdulillah. I don't want to get gassed. Anyone can get gassed.
But we were talking about it earlier, like that, and I even mentioned in that vlog documentary that we made that, like, I'll be honest, man, like the popularity thing gets to anyone. It gets to you. It's so hard to keep the ego down and stuff.
The other day that social media messes with your head,
bro. I was saying to Ajmin as well that I didn't used to, alhamdulillah, I didn't used to have anxiety.
Yeah.
Since I started social media, I get anxiety, bro. Or sometimes I get anxiety so bad that it messes my entire day. So obviously we won't go into that now. That's a different story for a different day.
Come on YouTube, what are you doing with Fires?
What I'm getting at is that I respect so much the fact that you want to stay out of the public light. I completely agree with you, even though it sounds like, how does he agree with it if he's literally always trying to push himself publicly? It's something that, like, the videos and stuff is something that I enjoy doing. I love it. I feel like alhamdulillah, like, this sounds big, but I feel like I'm somewhat decent at it, so that's why I do it. And you know, it's a good platform for me, it's a good platform for to promote my business, but there are definitely drawbacks to it. So I 100% respect and admire the fact that you want to actively stay out of the public light. I have no, and I hope that the people watching or listening also kind of make dua for yourself and for me, and keep us sincere in what we do. And yeah, that's about it, man. So jazakallah khair for coming on to the podcast. Is there anything you want to say?
And thank you very much for listening into this. If you've got this far into the podcast, man, I really do appreciate your interest and your time. To maybe you're stuck in traffic and you're listening to this, or you're busy at work, but yeah, thank you for taking time to actually listen to this. And please check out the website at www.imediauk.com.
.co.uk, isn't it?
.co.uk.
Oh, okay, both.
Yeah, you can use either one of those.
I am Media.
That's it,
UK.
With two M's.
So it's two M's. I am Media. Yeah, okay, cool. So, guys, make sure you do that. Hit Imran and his team up on in the inquiries if you've got any events, weddings, or anything you want to film and get sorted. Jazakallah khair for listening. Inshallah, there'll be new podcasts very, very soon. I'm going to try and do them more often, but as I mentioned in the intro,
we've got some new videos coming out as well.
We've got some new videos coming out. We're going to be working together, inshallah. So, guys, make dua that Allah puts barakah in what we do, that He keeps us sincere, and inshallah may Allah bless you all and reward you all and guide us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.